guys. It's your girl, Bobby Dearest.
I'm Kai, aka Audi. What time, baby?
Welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
Another week, another bang.
Another bang.
Again, it feels like it's been forever.
It actually has been forever. For you guys, it hasn't. Yeah. For us, it has. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why I was so excited to just get into it.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
Because you were saying your life updates is crazy.
Is it really crazy?
I made it listen.
Is it really crazy? So the guy I was talking about last week.
Yeah.
It's over.
Love when you went live. Yo, during that live also my was.
But like I was live and I was like, guys, Ndiyajola.
Ndiyajola. And then you were calling your ex on live because your new man would be like upset.
Yeah.
So we were all like, who's this new guy?
Cantido, there's no new guy anymore.
What happened?
I think he love bombed me. He love bombed me and then he literally like did a 365. Like he did a serious 365, and I was like, I tried to like understand the first week, and then.
Wait, how long was it?
That's the thing. It wasn't long. Remember, I told you when I spoke to you guys, I met him the day before.
Yes.
Right, and then that entire week, I was basically seeing him almost every day that week, and it felt good. The energy was flowing. I loved everything. Like he was communicating. He was like proper. Like he was within. He was doing. What needs to be done. Like, he was giving reliable man. You know, okay. He was giving this is a guy I can rely on. This is a guy I could talk to. I have so much fun with this guy. Like, it was beautiful. And then the next week, literally, he switched up. But I thought, because he was giving, oh, I'm busy, and da-da-da. So I was like, okay, let me understand. So I tried to understand that week. And then when I see him, he's going out with his boys. His You're boys, busy. The thing is, his boys are my boys.
Damn.
So I see it. Like, there's no way I won't see it. Unless Damn. All his boys decide to block me, then you're blocking your friend, and I want to judge all of you all. And y'all know
I can't wait each to other. Tell us who this is.
So, like, literally, so his boys, I can see he's out with his boys, but, like, he can't even, like, spare, like, a 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, Nyana, to come and see me so he can explain why he's been MIA the entire week. So, I was like, I guess.
Bro, if you're talking to somebody and they go MIA, like, for more than a day, It's done.
I think I was just like...
You can go your whole day without thinking about me.
It's done.
Like, continue. Go your whole life without me then. Yeah. Make it longer. Go from a day to a week to a month to years.
I hear you. And I think it's done.
Did you maybe consider that in the week that you guys spent a significant amount of time together, he kind of just realized that it's not going to work?
But then he's problematic.
So he phased himself out.
He's problematic in that sense because when I was trying to like set a boundary and be like, okay, I can see that you're no longer as interested anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, because I'm not angry at him. I'm not upset at him or anything. I don't want us to end on bad terms because your boys are my boys.
Yeah.
And your boys are my colleagues.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see you inevitably, like almost every month or like, every 2 months, and I don't want it to be awkward. We tried, it didn't work, it's fine.
Yeah,
let's just be cordial, right? Niggas like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Rah, we're not ending this. Rah, rah, rah.
We're not ending this.
And I'm like so confused because he's so on, like, I don't want to be just friends with you, but he is not putting pressure. So I think
you
I'm
know
being
what that sounds like? Ish. That sounds like breadcrumbing to me.
I genuinely feel like that's what it is. I'm literally
that sounds like
being breadcrumbed.
Breadcrumbed to me. Because what do you mean you go MIA and then you tell me you still want me? Get out of here.
It's breadcrumbing. I think I'm this placeholder. It's giving placeholder.
That hurt my feelings. It's fine.
It's fine.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
It's fine. My DMs are open.
They've always been open.
Hey, but I think niggas are afraid of me. But anyways, how is
Because every week in Jay, you shock us. Every week in Jay, I'm scared to open the comment section because of what mommy has said. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to defend her again.
And yo, guys, Kaya defends. Oh, I'd, like literally.
I think about me, I will.
I will see a comment and I'll want to respond. Kaya's already inside with like, listen up, you.
I'm always ready. I think I know my co-host now. Like, I know that I have to be different.
She's just there like.
So I'm already there. Like, okay. You know, somebody's like, your dresses in this episode are too short. I'm like, okay, buy us new ones then.
I didn't see that. Yeah, there was this, you know, I realized a lot from like seeing the comments.
Yeah.
One, people think they're God. Two,
there you go saying some wild stuff again.
Men don't care about like women. Like men care about their own best interest. And I think women, we should start doing that too.
Is that because of the birth control
check? Yeah, because I saw every guy was like, oh no, I'm not the one carrying a baby, so I don't need to worry about.
I didn't even respond to those ones. I respond to like comments where at least in Mzambe you use some of your brain. But those ones where you're like, it's called birth control for a reason. Women are the only ones who give birth. I was like, ayo, did you think that through?
Like, there's so many comments where I'm like, you know, you don't have the intellectual capacity to argue with me. Like, we cannot have a debate because of like the way you speak. And I notice a lot of people like resort to insults when they don't have the intellectual capacity to debate with me.
I don't even engage. As soon as I see that your comment had no thought in it, I'm just like, you can be there. I'll even like your comment, make you a little excited.
Make you feel like seen.
Make you feel seen and heard, because it's a safe space.
How has your week been?
My month. Let's talk about my time. I think this month has been emotionally taxing.
Ooh.
Because I started journaling. Ooh. And journaling, guys, I highly recommend it. Journaling helps you clear your mind and, like, navigate your emotions or even define what emotions you're feeling. Mm. And I've realized over the past week that, I'm at a point in my life where I can't get away with compartmentalizing anymore.
Mm.
I just cannot get away with it. I've tried. I don't know if it's hormones or whatever the case may be. But having to confront, like, negative emotion has been my entire month.
Mm.
And, navigating triggers, navigating betrayal. I think that's where I've been. And just a whole lot of silence. I've spent a lot of time in silence this month. Because I think scripture tells us that God, wants us to be silent while he fights for us. And I'm learning not to take, like, vengeance into my own hands. So dealing with betrayal when you're not taking vengeance into your own hands is also quite hefty. Because I want to do something about it. Like, how dare this person betray me?
But you just, let God... Yeah. Let God. Yo, I've also had, like, it was a very emotionally, minus like the boy stuff. Yeah. Like, I remember I was crying literally one night. I was literally bawling, and I didn't realize how I was internalizing all the that's been going on.
Mm.
Like, all the, like, one day we'll address it. I'll come and I'll address everything when it's good.
Yeah,
I'll address it. But like all the like things that have been happening and everything, and I was just like crying to God, and I remember I was asking the questions, why me? Like, what did I ever do to like deserve such a like difficult life? But I realized that everybody's life is difficult. Everybody has a cross that they need to carry, so carry your cross, Mpo. Carry it
with
grace. Kunzima, but like carry it.
Damn.
Hey, deep chats, guys. Deep. We might even have a topic on carrying your cross.
Actually, we'll chop it up in that direction.
Ooh, literally, like, carrying your cross, But minus the betrayals and the revenge and the vengeance and everything, like, how's work?
I told you we back on these YouTube streets.
Yeah.
All these back. With a vengeance. Like, now we're resuscitating YouTube. The female YouTubers, stand up. Like,
she's forcing me to stand up.
Yes, let's get it. Oh my God. I was actually supposed to be vlogging today. Really? Don't worry. I've got like a main channel and a vlog channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, main channel every Wednesday, vlog channel every Friday.
And hey, you back.
Regular content stuff, like the short form.
You back.
Yeah.
You back in the fight too.
It's over.
I also want to come back. And I think I recently thought of like how I'm going to come back. So.
That's good.
Go strategy subscribe wise. To our individual channels.
Strategy wise.
Go and be there.
You survived test week.
Oh, Barely. I think that's what added to the tears.
Oh, I see.
I survived barely, guys. I don't like what I'm doing. I hate it.
Yet you're doing honors.
With every inch in me, I hate it. It's not even like at the point where like I can tolerate it. I hate what I'm doing.
Man, and we're in April.
Yeah, so see y'all in December.
Oh my goodness.
See y'all in December.
How are you gonna make it if you absolutely hate it?
I have to.
Yeah, you don't have
a choice. I don't have a choice. I have to make it.
Yeah, we will celebrate your honors as well. We'll be there at the grad party for that too. We're rooting for you. We're all rooting for you, Chatham.
Yeah, we'll support us. Support our family. Support our family.
You make it. You always overthink these things.
We'll see.
You, bruh.
We'll see.
Stop nutting yourself.
Let's get into the first topic of today. So, the first topic of the day is financial literacy. So, today's goal talk is money, money, money. I think
our own money this time.
Yeah, week three, we're talking about like girlfriend allowance. No, it was week four. Yes. Yeah. Week four, we're talking about a girlfriend allowance and men's money. This week, we're talking about
our money.
We're talking about.
And
you're like fighting us. So fine, let's talk about our finances.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about yours.
Like when it's
girls
fine.
Have money. Like I think find out that like girls have money.
I literally said that.
We just don't like spending it.
I said in a joking manner. I was like, "There's no such thing as a bro card."
Where there's a will, there's a way, bro.
Where there's a will, there is a way. So the first thing I wanted to do was define what financial literacy is.
Yes, and you're very qualified for this.
Yes, as an accounting graduate.
Yes, ma'am.
As a CTA postgraduate student in accounting science. Let me school you.
When I saw this topic, I just resolved to sit here because I knew this is our niche, bro.
This is me. Yeah. This is me. If you need financial advice, come to moi.
Rats.
Okay, so financial literacy is the cognitive understanding of financial components and skills such as budgeting, investing, borrowing, taxation, and personal financial management. So, yeah, so if y'all need to do your tax returns.
Was too clean. That definition was too clean.
It was so
very,
nice.
Very, what is it called? It's a good summary of everything.
Yeah, of financial literacy. So I wanted to ask, like, to go question by question with this. So the first thing is, where and when did you learn about the value of money and how to handle it? So where did you first get the idea of, like, financial literacy?
Where did I first get? In church.
Mm.
Yeah, because there was a... There was a segment, an informative segment at church. So it would be a plethora of things like hygiene, health, money management. So I learned that in church. But in depth, in varsity, because I also studied economics. And so I looked at how money moves in the market. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's actually a massive deal. And we literally had, I think, an entire module dedicated to money. It was called money. The module was called.
My whole degree is dedicated to money.
Yeah,
like my entire degree is literally dedicated to money. For me, it was when was it? When did I learn like the concept of? First year. Mm-hmm. So my bursary does this thing where, like, in the first week, as first years, they go through different things like hygiene, So it's a whole like pack, and one of it was like financial literacy and stuff. So that's where they taught us how to budget, how to see the value of money, how to think about it. But I don't think I took it seriously. Yeah. When I first heard it.
And you don't take it seriously until you go broke.
And we're going to unpack that.
Yeah.
We are literally going to unpack that. But, like, I feel like I want to ask, like, don't you feel like these were lessons that we're supposed to learn from our parents?
Oh, no, from our parents.
Mm.
I agree. I think our parents, black parents, because that's the experience we have, or African parents, rather don't have the financial wisdom to give anyway, because they themselves, like, guys, we're in debt. Like, they're as a pandering, country, yeah. As a continent, we're in debt. And as individuals, I think as countries, that's a whole different story. Colonization, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But I mean, as individuals, and now I'm thinking about it real, real deep. Like, money wasn't a factor in many of our parents' lives, right? Because apartheid, and they could barely get jobs, Bantu Stands Act, all of these things that suffocated our parents financially. And so it's also the analogy of, like, when you let a dog out of a cage, it's going to run, right? And so not having access to as much money or as much resources kind of creates a scarcity mindset, that the moment you get money, you want to get all the things you didn't have when you didn't have the money. Do you know what I'm saying? So our parents' ability to handle money is largely influenced by the environment that they were raised in, and that's the apartheid regime.
And that can't help us in at the all. Environment that
so we're the ones who are going to teach our kids. But I genuinely don't blame our parents for not being able to have that conversation, because even money to them is new.
That's so, now that I think about it,
yeah,
that is so, because at first I was like, I wish, like, they had, like, that conversation with me, like, about, like, money, like, you know, like, how black people, we are so, like, it's the scarcity mindset thing.
Yeah.
Like, a black person is so, like, clutch about, like, their money, like, oh my God, imali, I'm like, I won't tell you how it moves and things like that. Like, your parents don't tell you how money moves in the household, what's happening in the household. But then the moment you get the job, you're supposed to do black tax.
Yeah.
You're supposed to send money home. Now it's like, now you're seeing, like, now you imagine, like, your eyes are being opened to, like, the how money moves in the household only when you have the money. And then now you are so eager to help out at home that you are not doing what you need to do for yourself. You know, like, because you're like, now you're seeing that, there was this problem, I have money, I quickly want to solve it, that you're not really, like, planning and budgeting and making the right financial decisions for you. And then I feel like with us, we got money very young because we went into the social media space young. So we started earning money young. Do you think you handled your finances in an appropriate way? Or do you think you went crazy, you went ham?
I'm a very frugal person overall.
So teach me your ways.
No, it's because my dad, like, my dad was stingy when we were growing up. So I learned that even just the way that I grew up, I never had what I wanted, but I always had what I needed. And that also just cultivated the way that I thought about money, that money is for what you
it's not for what you want.
It's for what you need and not what you want. So I didn't go ham with the money. I just spent it on necessities. But I think also there's an irresponsibility there, because I can't seem to remember where most of it went.
Like, you're just like, where did my money go?
But thankfully, when I did touch, you know, good money, I was in varsity learning about money. So I opened a fixed deposit account in second year.
I should have been, Kaya should have been my friend.
But she was studying money better than me, like, your entire
literally, I was studying money, but, like, my idea of money was different. I feel like how you see money determines how you use
money. How did you handle your money?
So, you see, you saw money as money is for what you need.
Yeah.
I saw money as money comes, money goes. For me, money, like, the idea of keeping money,
dangerous,
never resonated with me. Because I was like, if I die, it's pointless. Like, literally, I was like, if I die now, it's literally pointless. Oh, I don't got kids. I don't got no responsibilities. Yeah. Where am I leaving money to? So literally, it was a thing of, like, money comes, money goes. I felt like I had this notion that when you keep money, you don't allow more money to come.
Oh my God.
Literally, I feel like when you have money, you don't feel the need to hustle.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you would spend money for what you wanted and then you went broke, you'd hustle and you'd get what you want and what you need.
Oh my goodness. You see? This is not what I thought you'd say.
Literally, that was, like, my whole philosophy of money. I was like, money is like
money
river.
Comes, money goes. What the heck?
It's supposed to flow. And I had this notion that when you keep money, hoard money, you are idolizing money.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I don't want money to be my God. So let it come and go.
Okay, I hope you realize how detrimental that is.
It,
yeah.
now I'm seeing how detrimental it is. Yeah. Now I'm realizing how detrimental it is. Because, yo, ish. Like, it's a thing of, like, because of that mindset, yeah. I didn't spend the money I made responsibly. Because I made
Did you spend it on?
Quite a big sum of money. Mm-hmm. Like, I would spend it on experiences. It was that type of thing of, like, if Omar texted me today, let's go to Cape Town tomorrow, I would, like, literally, like, take money and go to Cape Town.
Oh, my God.
I would go to Cape Town tomorrow. Like,
and me, I would calculate expenses and be like, according to next month, is this decision wise in this month?
See, for me, it wasn't that deep. For me, it was like, okay, money comes, money goes. But also, okay, let me give myself some credit. Mm-hmm. People have this, like, assumption that I come from, like, a well-off household and stuff like that. But I come from a single mother home.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, any opportunity I get to help my mom, I will help her, like, through and through, because she's the reason why I'm here today. She's the reason why I'm the woman I am today. So every time I made money, like brand deals or anything, I would literally send money home. So my first instinct is to send money home, and then the money that I have, I'll just spend it on whatever. Spend it on what, like, on literally whatever, to the point, like, where, like, F&B, like, was like, girl, what do you do? What do you do for a living? Like, they had to call me, like, what? Because, like, the amount, the sums of money that would enter my account in a year for a student were, like, very big. And
did they tell you they had to, like, cancel your student account?
At some point, I had to say I'm employed at some point. Like, I had to give it a reason.
Google?
Google, yes. I had to give it a valid reason. I had to be like, I'm employed.
Yeah.
Like, to the point, like, F&B was offering me, like, home loans. That's how much money I was making. But, like, if you go to my account now, I have zero rent.
Somebody who was studying accounting.
Zero rent.
You blew that money.
I blew that money.
Oh, my. We need an episode for Mpo on I blew it.
Literally.
I blew it.
I can give you bank statements. I blew it.
Oh, my God.
I blew it. And then
I'm disappointed in
you. And then now.
But that's how you learn. The hard way.
That's true. I think going broke makes you learn a lot of lessons.
Mm.
That makes you learn a lot of lessons. So do you think, okay, now I think this answers itself. Like, the importance of, like, financial literacy. Like, is it really important? Like how...
What? Vital. Money makes the world go round. And so it's important to know how to manage your money. More than manage it, it's also important to know how to grow your money. And here are a few practical examples. I don't want to have this conversation and somebody, after, like, hearing this, does not know what to do with their money. Time Bank, one, has something called the Goal Save, right? It's like a, it's not a separate, it's, how to explain it? It's like a piggy bank, right? And you can put your money in there and it earns interest. Obviously, the amount of interest that you earn depends on the amount that you put in your Goal Save.
Net Bank has that as well. Yeah. F&B has that as well.
Old Mutual has it.
I think most banks have that feature, like, where you put money and then it grows.
But there's a difference between things like a Goal Save and a savings account and then a fixed deposit account. So those generally earn more interest, and you earn the interest over a year. It's a good saving tactic as well, because you only earn that interest at the end of the year. So you wouldn't, I think you would be wise to put your money there and just leave it alone. Saving also takes a lot of discipline. Because you can convince yourself that you need the money that you've saved when you don't really need it. You can make more. Leave that money alone. Like, I'm talking to you.
You're talking to
leave
me.
Leave the money alone. You're like, talking if to you me. Put it there, if you put it in the fixed deposit account, if you put it in that Goal Save, leave
it. It doesn't exist alone. Like, that must be money.
Forget about it.
Yeah, that must be money that does not exist to you. Like, exactly. No matter how broke you are, that money does not exist to you unless you're going to be out in the streets.
Yeah.
Because, like, for me, I would do the same. Like, I would put money in my fixed deposit account. And then I would somehow be like, no, but I really need the money. And then I would take it out. Like, you take it out. And they charge you for taking it out. Like, 40 rand, 30 rand. They charge you large sums of money for taking that money out. And I would keep doing that. And I would keep doing that. So I think knowing, like, that money shouldn't exist to you is so important.
Yeah.
It is so important.
Also, I think, guys, utilize the financial services provided to you. It's free. If you call the customer service line at your local bank, they're going to help you. How do I invest my money?
Yes.
They can even help you buy stocks.
That is so
true. That's how efficient these banks are.
Well, that is so true.
FNB, Old Mutual, not too sure about Time Bank.
I think Nedbank as well. Like, Nedbank. Like you literally speak to a consultant and be like, okay, this is my money. How can I grow my money? I see there's like so many features. Like you can even trade on Nedbank in a sense, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a thing of like, there are so many resources out there. There's Google. There's so much. You can literally just Google it or call and you will receive so much financial assistance. And I feel like I was just being very ignorant because like, I know multiple ways on how to grow money as an accounting student. I literally learn about those things. I learn, like, it is my job to grow people's money.
And yet I blew it.
So I feel like it came from came from a big place of ignorance. So my last question to you is, are you in debt or do you take any form of debt?
I've never taken on. No, I'm a cash baby. But it's important to improve your credit score. Mm-hmm. So I do have accounts open. I've got a gym membership. I've got a TFG account open. And I think I have a cell phone on contract, but it's not mine. It's for somebody else, but it's in my name. So that's all for the purpose of improving my credit score. But I do think I should take out a loan to just hike it up a little bit, hike up the score a little bit. I just don't like owing.
But like, I feel like it's, debt is how like the world moves. And I feel like your credit score is very important. A
financial advisor say that before, that debt is how the world
literally
moves. And
like,
how to become financially successful is to take credit.
Literally,
live on credit. But I was like, that's uncomfortable.
Because the bank needs to, like, the bank uses borrowed money itself. Like, the money you put in your bank account, the bank owes you that money. Yeah. And they use that money to trade, to invest and everything. Else. Like, so it's a thing of, like, debt is how the world moves. It's just having good debt management that's important. Yeah. You need to be, like, positively geared.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to know how to, like, turn your debt into equity, assets, and things like that. And I feel like, and that's how you get more opportunities per se. Like if you want like a loan for your company, your business, because there's a saying that the banks only give rich people money. Like rich people can easily go and get a loan for anything. And it's because they have that experience of moving debt. Like how do you turn this debt into like an income or profit or anything like that? But on the gym thing, gym does not improve your credit score.
What?
It doesn't
debit
at all.
Gym
actually, if you don't pay the gym, it can ruin your credit score. But paying it does not improve.
That's ridiculous. I did not know
your
that.
Credit score.
That, so if it bounces you thinking my credit score, but if I pay you,
you're
does
not,
nothing.
It does absolutely zero. Ugh, for you.
I want to stop paying my membership in cash now. Y'all scamming me.
Yeah, it was a scam. Gym was a proper scam. But like everything else, like taking a cell phone contract.
I learned something new today.
Everything else improves your credit score. Self-con contract, TFG account. Like, sometimes I buy an item for, like, $1,000.
Yeah.
Knowing very well I can just pay it, but I just want to, like, improve my credit over time. That's why I got offers for home loans and things like that. Oh. It's because I had a very amazing credit score.
I think I have, like, a negative relationship with debt.
I think you should feel more comfortable with it, but don't do it too much. Because I remember there was a time where I was in too much debt.
Yeah.
I got too comfortable. Because, like, everything was giving me an account. Like, I have Mr. Price. I have TFG.
Oh, my God.
I have this, have that, have this, have that, have this, have that. So I got too much into debt. So, like, when money entered my account, yes, I could afford my debt. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't have any cash on hand. Because it's like, I earn money and then it all moves to debt, to my debts. So you got to be...
And especially as a content creator with, like, an unstable income source. Hey, man.
It's scary
because like one month you can make 10, next month you can make 30, next month you can make 5. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that debt is still like, they're still dragging money.
It's really scary. I actually almost went into like a bad debt relationship because of that fluctuation. Because there was a period of time where I was earning this form of consistent income. So I took certain debts knowing that, okay, this consistent income will cover those debts. But like now that consistent income stopped. So now I'm just like sitting where like, what's going on? And I feel like that's why I needed to talk about this topic. Yeah. So, because I'm like, now I'm in the sense where I'm like trying to like clear up most of my debts so that I can now like keep debt that I can afford.
Right.
Basically.
I think a good place to start, especially when it comes to budgeting, is splitting your money into percentages.
Mm.
What percent of my money am I saving? What percent of my money am I investing? What percent of my money am I spending?
Mm.
That's a good way to approach. And leave the money alone. But
that is on financial literacy. Look at us teaching the peoples.
Yeah, because we keep getting like these comments. Goody, it you date. Yeah, bafana. It's fine. There you go. We're talking about money now.
No, but like we're talking about so many other things. Fixed
deposit accounts or something. Because everyone's like, oh, every time I see you guys on my For You page, it's about men. Away! You go grow your money. Then come back and talk to us.
And come back. Rubbish. Now you have learned something. You're financially... You're in a better place financially. Okay, now we can move to today's game. So today's game is answer or tweet.
My questions aren't that spicy. I can't lie to you.
So it's like literally like... There's not like I don't have Twitter. My Twitter is basically like a ghost.
I also don't have Twitter. So we're gonna use Instagram.
Yeah, we're gonna use Instagram stories. So if you can't answer the question, you post an Instagram story.
Oh my god.
So I have like 5 questions for you.
I also have 5 questions.
Okay. So let's do this quick. Let's do this fast. Okay, let me start. Okay. The first
question. But don't throw me under the bus. Like
I don't have like juicy questions. Like my questions are quite light.
Okay.
The first question is have you ever had a crush on a friend's significant other?
No.
Okay.
I'm so glad my friends and I don't have the same type.
That's so real.
Yeah.
That is so real.
What? Who's your least favorite influencer?
Kaya, like, I came here. I was like, let me keep
it. And if you don't want to answer, you have to post a picture
cute,
of your ex.
Let me keep it thinking. Okay, who's my least favorite influencer?
I'm sorry.
Who is? Like, who literally is? I think I do have one. I'm just trying to think. I don't consume their content.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, who is it? For think. Let me just keep it simple. Let me keep it safe.
Yeah.
I think her name is like,
Jakunja,
something like that. She's
Jakunja do be out of pocket sometimes. I can't lie.
She's. I have a love hate relationship with her because certain things she'd be saying, I'd be like, real.
Oh my goodness! I did not see Jakunja coming, bro.
So real, but
Jakunja is a legalist. I think I'm gonna have her on my podcast.
Like she's such a legalist. Certain things I'm like, yes, girl. Certain things I'm like, ha ha ha. Hands. Why? So she's my least. Okay. Yo, that was so deep. Which influencer content creator in the industry would you date, excluding your man?
Why is it excluded?
It's excluded because you're already dating him, so what's the point? Excluding your man.
Why are you excluding
him? Who would you date in the industry?
I don't see nobody but my man, I can't lie.
A girl, that is you not answering.
You're right, what do I post?
Exactly.
Tunnel vision. I don't see anybody else.
Post. Oh, yeah, go to your story and say, Joseph, can I join this Tembu?
Yo, nah, let me answer the question.
You gotta decide.
Ooh.
You gotta decide.
Ooh, imagine my partner opens my stories and that's the first thing.
And then that's the first thing he sees, Joseph, can I join this tip? But he will know it's jokes.
He's not gonna know jokes because we can't tell them until
like the end.
Until the end.
The end of this episode. But he will know it's jokes. Let him blow up your phone for like 2 minutes.
No. which other content creator would I date?
Mm.
Lord. Oh my god. Does it have to be South African?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even know South African influencers like that.
Post.
Probably. That's offensive. I can't say that. There's quite a few people that I find.
Santo Domingo.
Oh my god. In South Africa.
Girl, I'm giving you 5 seconds. 5.
Yo.
4. 3.
Tabang Mulaba.
Okay. Okay. Why?
One question at a time. You can't ask two.
Fine. Let me have respect for her relationship. Let me not cause drama. Now it's your turn, girl. Come on.
Okay. So what now, your baba? Name the person you had a talking stage with a week ago.
Guys, y'all can't see it, but like Tata's in the background, like, damn.
Why are you tearing up?
Guys, I'm crying.
Why are you tearing up?
Okay, the person's name is Siyabonga.
Siyabonga?
Mm.
Oh, he's not like a content creator,
no.
Boring, but hi, Sia. Screw you, Sia.
That's so real. That is so real. Can you?
I'm joking, Shane.
Because I'm literally tearing up.
Are you tearing up because you're emotional?
No, because like your question made me laugh, and now like my eye is twitching. Like it's literally acting up.
When I see you,
guys, you see Kaya put me on. Now I carry tissues in my bag. Look at
yes, she finally got the memo.
I'm such a girl.
Look at how you're thinking your tears. Like, wow. Very ladylike.
Because, like, he broke my heart, you see. Like,
girl, okay.
He hurt my
Now feelings. You're just lying through your teeth. He didn't break it. Did he break your heart?
Yo, guys, it hurt.
Really?
Because I really liked him.
Really? I didn't know you liked him that much.
I liked him, like, but, girl.
You liked him that much? Girl, I'm so sorry.
I liked him.
Ricky, when I catch you, Ricky.
I liked him
Ricky,
a lot.
When I catch Ricky, I better not find out who you are.
Okay. I'm not crying because of him. Listen. I'm crying because, like, my eyes teared up and then.
It's okay.
And it's the eye that literally, like, has, like, a problem.
Sure. Let's stop making excuses.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
I'm going to throw hands. Okay. And you.
It's okay.
Okay, my next question is, Razor's question. Oh, here is it. What is that thing that keeps you up at night?
What is it? Emotions.
Oh, okay.
The fact that I even have them.
So who made
hell out of me?
Who caused
one
that
question
emotion?
At a time, Baba.
Who caused
You can't ask a two in one.
Who caused
you can't ask it? Okay. Hey.
Fine. Ask your question.
But to give you like a more solid answer,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've been navigating through dealing with betrayal.
Mm.
So like what keeps me up is like how like God, why do you let people get away with people? Why do you let people get away with doing what they do to me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially because I know myself as a genuine person,
mm-hmm.
and a supportive person and somebody who, you know, puts people on, but who wants to get the best out of people. And then you betray me?
Now you come and betray me.
Excuse me?
That
keeps me up at night. Also, the fact that I have to restrain myself from taking vengeance into my own hands.
You're such an aggressive person.
Bro, if this was 2017, something would be on fire.
Hands would be thrown.
What is the worst gift you've ever received and who was it from?
The worst gift I've ever received? Yeah. Worst gift? I don't receive gifts.
It's sad.
It's sad, guys. It's sad.
It's okay, you can cry again.
Guys, drag hands today. Worst gift I've ever received.
That's crazy business.
Worst.
Mm. The concealer's not helping.
Really? Mm. You can still see the tear.
Mm.
It's okay, guys. Let them. It's fine. I tried being strong.
Yeah, it shows you how strong the tear was. That wasn't a tear from laughter.
No, it was a tear from laughter.
Yeah.
It was a tear from laughter, guys.
Sure.
It really was a tear from laughter.
This is a safe space, guys. Please comment down below. It's a safe space, Mpo.
Fine.
I think he... Okay. Yo, and we showed the label sponsors.
They must do the things. They must do the things. Everything was there. Okay, the worst thingy gift I've ever received is probably... Yo, as I said, I don't get gifts.
Okay, we can move on.
Yeah, I don't get
gifts. I think we can move on to the long one.
Okay. Okay, so okay, let's go to our long topic because we got like a technical interruption with the makeup malfunction, which is still malfunctioning, but it's fine.
It's okay.
So today's long topic, guys, drum roll, please.
The way your volume just went up, like your energy just came up. Okay.
Because I'm not like, thinking about that guy. That's why my energy came back up.
I told you it wasn't because of laughter. It's okay. We're about to reflect again.
Okay. So,
self-reflection.
The lock topic is what's wrong with me. So, the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I feel like we've been going in on men.
Yeah.
Shame, man. Now, now let's go into what's wrong with us. Like, what do you think is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I think it's all good and well to point out, like, the toxic traits in other people. Mm. But accountability is a good, it's a good way to go.
How long is your list?
Of the things that are wrong with me.
Yeah.
There is no list, honey.
Okay. But I get you, like.
I'm joking.
Like, we are so perfect. We're so imperfectly perfect.
Yeah, like, you stayed up all night trying to find something. That shows you, like, how perfect we are. I'm joking. We all come for us. The first thing that came to mind for me is that I exist and I feel in extremes. So what that means is there is no gray area with the way that I behave. I either treat you well or I don't. Mm. And I don't think that's a positive way to approach life and relationships, because you have to give people grace. You have to acknowledge that they're human and humans err.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I give up on human beings very easily. Either you're on my good side or you're on my bad side.
There's no
and I can also be an extremist in the way that I react to things. Because, again, I don't give human beings the benefit of the doubt. And that's that's a negative trait, because that's the insinuation that I'm perfect.
Mm.
And that I don't make mistakes when I actually do. So I think that's number one thing that's wrong with me.
For me, I wrote, the first thing I wrote was obsessive.
Oh! My God.
And I think that stems from daddy issues, which is number two.
Yo,
it's how I'm casually.
I can see why you were up all night, bro.
Is that so? How I'm casually saying this thing. So, I feel like my obsessiveness comes from my daddy issues. So I've experienced
obsessiveness over relationships.
Yes, like in relationships, I'm very obsessive.
Yeah,
like I become attached, clingy. Yeah, to a person, it's like if you don't text me like the whole day, like it's like my world is coming, because like what's wrong with me, like what's wrong, like, what happened, what's, and I think that stems from my daddy issues. So yeah, I'm very obsessive. Yeah, I need to work on that.
I think that reminds me of something that you mentioned in the toxicity episode, where you were like, for you to have stayed in that situation for 3 years, there was something
wrong
with you.
And I think it's the obsessiveness, because it's like I've been left before by like a man. So now it's like I don't want to be left again. So it's a thing of like I will hold on to something that is not worth holding on to, because of the idea of like someone walking away from me.
So
I think that's what's wrong with me.
Man,
deep,
very deep,
deep, and that's like number one.
And that's number one,
and I have
bro.
11 like, things on this list.
We just arrived. Oh my God, we just arrived.
And for you, what's number two?
Compartmentalization.
Definitely. You were saying that. You were
I'm
saying
very
that.
Like even in the first episode, I said "Nkalang hamba," right? And even I did a TikTok talking about how I'm non-confrontational. and how you'll never know I've had an issue with you because I won't be the one to tell you. But also, that ties hand in hand with my passive aggressiveness. You again exist in extremes. If I'm not good with you, I'm not addressing you, right? Or even you can hear even in my tone, in the way that I address you, that she's, you know, not she's upset, good. And I am. That manifests in the compartmentalization manifests as passive aggressiveness, and I don't think that's a good. Again, I don't think it's a good way to navigate through life because the essence of relationships is communication, and the communication of how you feel, the communication of what you think, what you like, what you don't like, and I'm realizing that I exist in a bubble. Because my inability to give people second chances, my inability to even let them work through what the breakdown of our relationship is again the insinuation that I'm perfect and I'm not.
But does it also come from a place of like fear of being hurt? Like I feel like you're self-isolating a lot.
I think so too. I generally, because from a very young age, I experienced disappointment, and disappointment to like a really high degree from people that I loved and people that I trusted to not disappoint me. And so that's the first thing that I expect when I meet a human being. I'm either right or I'm pleasantly surprised. And so me being right means that you've disappointed me or that you're going to.
So people already exist on the negative side of the scale with you.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's easy to cut them off because it's like you're already in the negatives.
Yep.
There's no neutral with Kaya.
Yep.
Oh, that's deep.
Do you need help? You're such a girl.
That's deep. You can see I'm struggling. I'm truly struggling. I'm fighting for my life.
Here you go.
Okay. For me, the second thing I have is that I am very petty.
Okay. So I feel like pettiness is just a euphemism for vengeful.
Yeah. I'm vengeful, petty.
You're vengeful, you're not
petty. Angry. I put angry there.
Yeah.
I'm also self-isolating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm vengeful, petty, angry. And I think the pettiness comes from I was bullied growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you, like, grow up being bullied and stuff, and y'all know, my bullies know themselves. They mustn't come shook. I was bullied growing up, primary, where I stayed, and things like that. And some people disguised friendship with being bullied. Like, they were my bullies, but they were acting like they were my friends.
Snap.
Like, and I think growing up in that way, I was very, I didn't confront my bullies. Like, I took everything they gave at me and everything like that. And, like, once I grew into myself, and I stopped letting people walk all over me, I think anger and pettiness also came into be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now when you do me wrong, I have to do you wronger.
Yeah.
Like type of thing. Like
damn.
I have to go like to the pits of hell because like I'm so angry and I'm so like I've let people do everything they've wanted to do with me that I'm not going to let you do that. And the fact that you did that, you must suffer. So that's another thing that's wrong with me.
So that's scary. You must suffer.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm very forgiving. Like I'm one person who can like curse you. I will curse you with my heart. I will hold you in my heart. And like one thing about me, I am very like spiritually powerful.
Cursing
like,
somebody in your heart is crazy.
Yeah. Like
That's kind of witchcrafty.
That's being a witch. Yes. I literally needed to, like, okay, I'm no longer like that.
Like that.
I'm, like, petty, but I'm no longer, like, witchcrafty. Like, I don't hold people in my heart anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, I used to genuinely, like, hold people in my heart.
Yeah.
And one thing about me, it's, like, when I wish you good or I want good to happen, it happens.
And then when you want something bad to happen to somebody, the bad thing actually happens.
Yeah, no, really bad things.
I told
things.
You, witchcrafty. That's so crazy.
Like, really bad things. I remember there was this one girl who I didn't like what she did in first year, academically. And I didn't realize I was holding it in my heart. And then when she failed, I was like,
You were happy.
I was like, there's your karma.
Oh, my God.
There is your karma has arrived. Your cover has arrived. So, yeah.
You're changing now?
No, I've changed. Okay. The fact that I'm speaking about these things means I've changed. I've changed. It was a hard realization,
yeah.
But it was something. So I realized I needed to be more forgiving. And I feel like I'm at that place now. Like, yeah. You see, like, with this guy situation, I think I realized that I'm quite forgiving.
And then he said his name again. Oh, my God.
So, like it's
so sorry.
So sorry. So I think I'm very forgiving because I'm not holding in my heart. Like, yeah. It upset me, but I'm not angry. I'm not resentful. I'm not mournful. Like, type of thing, yeah. I'm not out for blood. So I think I'm...
Out for blood. Like, the words that you use, it's no wonder we get in trouble every week. It's no wonder that we have to fight wars in comments every week. Out for blood? Yo.
You're learning forgive. Please forgive me.
I think I'm a very lustful person.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. With my eyes particularly.
Ooh.
Yo. Ooh. This is so hard to admit. Okay, and this comes from, for me, the only picture that I had of love growing up was sex.
Mm.
Funny enough. That was when I kind of concluded that this is how people show love to each other. Because I didn't see, like, my father get my mom flowers or kiss her for that very fact. Like, even hold her. So the only time that I knew they loved each other... You know what I'm saying? And that applied for the other relationships that I witnessed as well. Aunts, uncles, so on and so forth, you know? And that marred my idea of intimacy. For me, intimacy is sex. Like, how else are we going to be intimate?
There's no other way.
But also, in my singleness, that translated to having a wandering eye, you know? Anybody that I found attractive, I would take it there in my mind. Mm. I would... And that's... Even something that's difficult to phase out in a relationship, to know that I'm in a relationship, I should not be thinking about this person in this manner. Mm. And even in a relationship, I think it's also important to recognize that relationships don't get rid of lust. Even if you satisfy whatever sexual urges you have in that relationship, lust still exists.
That's why people go out of their marriage, because they haven't dealt with the lust.
Yeah.
And they think that marriage is gonna erase that.
Yeah.
But
and I also fall into the trap of thinking that a relationship is going to erase that.
Mm.
And it really doesn't. And in the same breath, as much as I keep people at arm's length, I tend to also view them as objects.
Guys, hey, we need to go to therapy here on Thought Digest. Hey, yo! Hey-wo.
Do you know that came out of my mouth without me thinking?
Hey-wo.
I'm actually deeping what I'm saying now. Like, damn.
Hey-wo. I'm talking about people's kids.
Genuine. That's why it's easy for me to get rid of people.
Because
really.
You are just a thing.
Yeah. And I only recently came across the idea of Sonder. And Sonder is the recognition that the other person's experience of life is just as real as yours.
Mm.
For a very long time, I didn't recognize that as a thing. I thought my experience was the only real experience and you're just a pawn in this big chess game, you know? And obviously that leads to you invalidating somebody's feelings.
That's true.
I remember I had a friend for about 5-6 years. And one day she had broken down because of like the way that I was treating her in our friendship, right? I was not prioritizing our friendship. I used to kind of just ignore her quite a bit. And the friendship didn't mean as much to me as it did to her. Mm. And she broke down in tears, like, I love you, na na na. And I remember feeling nothing because the friendship wasn't, to me, it wasn't anything. And that's when I realized there's something broken here, because how do you have a friendship with somebody for years? And when they cry about...
It doesn't even touch you.
It didn't even... In my head, I'm thinking, what's my next meal?
Like, what's going on?
What, like, yeah, when is the next so check real. Coming in? And she's bawling.
That is so real.
So, I need to learn how to treat human beings like human beings most of the time.
Guys, hey, there's so many problems with us. For me, my next one is... I think I'm always right. And that goes together with I talk a lot. I genuinely think I'm always right. I'm not gonna lie, I am always right.
You're letting the women team down.
Yo, I am always right.
Team.
And you know why I stand? It's something wrong. Yeah. I know it's wrong. But like you know why in my head I stand on that is I am that person. I will not speak on something or have a comment on anything unless I have information on it.
Yeah.
So if I'm speaking on something and I'm commenting on something, just know I am well informed and therefore I am right. Like I will not
being well informed doesn't directly translate to being right.
But I also have like, ish guys, I'm just always right.
You know why I'm laughing? It's because there was this that reel that we released where you're like every relationship is transactional.
Yeah.
And then you commented and on the post you're like, if you don't agree with me, you're just in denial.
You are literally in denial. And I stand on that. You're in denial.
You fought everybody. You're like, you're in denial.
You don't want to accept it. It's the truth. You don't want to accept it. It's the truth. And I feel like that's like very problematic.
Yeah.
Because like in relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, shame. Yeah. I feel like my partners have gone through a lot because of that. Because I feel like as a man, you want to be seen, you want to be heard, and you know that thing of like, I think you find like it's a thing of like it's natural to submit, it's natural to be authoritative, so it's hard to exercise your authority as a guy with a woman who thinks she's always right. Because one thing about me, I think that also comes into being very manipulative, because if you don't agree with my opinion, I will manipulate you into ending up agreeing with me.
I don't think we can ever have a conversation about men after this one.
Yeah.
I think we just closed the door.
Someone's going to be like, look in the mirror first, my sister.
Yeah. Every time we say something bad about men, they're going to clip this episode and be like, remember?
Look.
You forgot who you are?
I think even like the toxic relationship thing, they're going to be like, your ex deserves flowers. He deserves the apology.
Oh my god.
Because girl.
I think where do we go to from here? Like recognizing that this is unhealthy or this is toxic or this is something that's not so great about you.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
I think I've already started making these steps. Yeah. Like these are things that I'm still saying they're wrong with me because I'm in the process of completely like phasing them out of my life, phasing them out of my character.
Yeah.
But I think I've started taking steps. Like the first step was like acknowledging that, oh, Mpo, you're obsessive.
Yeah.
You're petty. You are angry. You are manipulative. You are clingy, self-isolating, all those things. And I think that came from like, I have friends who call me out a lot.
Mm.
So they made me realize these things. Like it was actually my friends were like, Mpo, you think you're always right. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm right. And then I said, and I thought about it, I was like, actually, you think you, that proved their point in that you proved their point. So it's a thing of like, now when I have conversation, I try to listen more.
Yeah.
Like I try to hear that's why I give the other person the first, the chance to speak first.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know that if I go first, I will manipulate you, or the way I, because I'm very authoritative in the way I speak.
Yeah.
People with personalities who aren't like mine tend to submit to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So like their opinions don't really come across, or what they have to say does, they don't feel like it has weight because of the way I articulated what I articulated. Mm-hmm. So I like giving the person the chance to go first.
But isn't that also not counterproductive? But isn't that self-defeating? Because it's like, I'm waiting for you so that I can prove you wrong.
Not necessarily.
Like, I'll let you speak so that I can show you that you're wrong.
I don't think like that when I'm doing it. When I'm doing it, it's like, I'm letting you speak so that what I say, you don't feel like, I don't think that I have dimmed you or I've silenced you in what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
You've spoken. Mm-hmm. I hear you. And I think I've learned a lot more in doing that. Because now, after hearing what the person is saying, I'm like, oh, there's that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things where I thought I was right about without understanding the other perspective.
Yeah.
Like, and it comes from also not living that life, walking in those shoes. So, you don't understand how the other person is thinking.
Yeah.
So, for you, like, what's your step?
Therapy, bro.
Therapy.
I think I genuinely need therapy.
Guys.
Because I've operated as a robot for too long. That's why the whole journaling situation just threw me off. Because, wow, what is this emotion? You know? So I think I need therapy to work through why I view people the way that I view them and how to be less detached. Because I don't think I have the tools to navigate
that on your own.
Yeah, that on my own. And as much as I always advocate for the help of the Holy Spirit,
100%.
I always advocate for it. But I think it's also healthy to speak to somebody who's learned on, not to say that the Holy Spirit isn't learned, but just to hear.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses someone to
help
you in your journey. Because I was literally Googling to show that I literally even posted a status. I was like, guys, is Psyched want walk-ins or do you have to book an appointment? Psyched is like the therapy thing at UJ. Yeah. And this was me last week asking that question. Yeah. But I was Googling and there are therapists out there that, or like organizations, like, you know, that deal with therapy and stuff like that. And they literally, like, they ask you questions before directing you to a therapist. Are you religious? Are you spiritual?
I knew I needed therapy when I clicked on that BetterHelp ad, bruh. You got that one that shows up during the YouTube videos. When I actually clicked and I was like, okay.
Let's get into it.
That's when I knew I'm seeing dust. I was like, I saw it all the way through. Like, are you religious? What religion do you like? Do you prefer a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer a black or a white therapist? Yeah. I filled in that questionnaire. I also filled in the questionnaire. I gotta get this healing, bro. I gotta fetch it with both my hands.
I also filled in the questionnaire. So I think this is a great time for us to tell our audience that if after watching this episode, I advise you to do a self-reflection and see what's wrong with you. What is something you need to work on? Because you are not perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone is imperfect. So, yeah, then we can go on this journey of trying to better ourselves for the people who love us and for the people we love. So, yeah, guys, what baby self-reflects.
Please. But I think that goes without saying because I think we've like, fostered a really good community. If you check our comments, like, people confess a lot. This is what I'm going through. This is what I did.
I wish my toxic relationship was in the past. I'm still in the toxic relationship.
I'm so glad that we've created such an environment. Yeah. And I'm always happy to engage with you guys in the comments. So feel like, go ham. Go ham. We'll talk about, we might even have certain things in common. Oh, this is the first thing. Like, this is the first time that we see the contrast between both of us.
Ooh.
Because most of the time, like, again, we agree and we seem very similar.
I'm emotional. Kaya is the opposite of emotional. Which is so funny because that's my...
It's true.
That's one of my close friends.
It's so true.
She is the least emotional, like, person. Like, you don't cry, we don't hug, we don't... What is I love you? You know? what is that?
I'm working on it. I'll work on myself for you, okay?
I'm also working on myself for you.
Okay.
Yeah, because we need to work because otherwise it would affect even our relationship.
Absolutely. So, with that being said, I think this is a good time to introduce our channel memberships. Woo! So somewhere on your screen, I'm not sure if it's your bottom left or bottom right.
Yes.
You'll see the option to join in on the channel membership. And what that is, it gives you access to exclusive content, which is are parts of this podcast that you won't see on YouTube. You'll see them
on the memberships. So literally, like, our videos are still gonna be the same length, same anything. We're not taking away from those of you who aren't on memberships. You're still getting the best of the best. But if you do subscribe to channel memberships and you do the memberships, you get access to exclusive content, longer episodes, more topics on the
more and different.
I think that's where you'd even find like the vlogs of us doing everything we need to do, like go to the Ghana therapist, waxing, all those things.
Yes,
you will see them on your on the channel memberships. Yes. And I don't think the fee is that
it's high. Too high, guys.
It's not too high. It's, we got money, it's cute. Right? It's cute.
The Jesties got money, right?
It's cute.
Right.
You what is their name?
I like the name Jesties. Somebody suggested it.
Okay, Jesties. Why is it Jesties?
Because thought digest and besties.
Oh, okay.
I like that one.
Okay, the
Because Thaddeus was
Chasties.
crazy.
But okay, fine. Okay, Chasties.
Thaddeus
I'm so hurt.
nuts. But continue commenting down like community names. That was just my favorite.
I like Justice too.
I like it.
Okay, so Justice, if you are listening to this on Spotify or Apple, whatever you're listening, if you're listening to it, please go check out the YouTube version of it and subscribe to the memberships if you
And
want
vice versa.
the extra, extra edit.
Yes, without further ado, you know your cues. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Don't forget to turn your post notifications on, and we'll see you next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Babe.
This week, please comment journals.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah,
Comment
if you made it to
journals.
the end, comment journals. And
Comment
there
journals.
should be an emoji for journals.
Yeah,
I don't
there is
know.
a. I think there is a journal emoji. Comment journals down there. Please, please do. Please do.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye.